Passkeys are quite simply a groundbreaking technology that leaves traditional passwords in the dust. They are designed to be resistant to phishing attacks due to their relationship to specific websites or services, and their design significantly reduces the risk of credential theft. They are ushering us into a future where forgotten passwords, easily guessed passwords, and security breaches can perhaps become relics of the past. But they still have yet to catch on fully. As organizations struggle with the noise of cybersecurity issues such as ransomware and social engineering, the wide-scale adoption of passkeys seems to be a little drowned out. This is a shame, since it really is a solution to many of our security problems. So let's look a little more closely at where we are with passkey technology. I'm Steve Prentice, and this is the Talis Security Sessions podcast. To understand the vital role that passkeys have in our collective future, I am joined by two esteemed experts in the field, Andrew Shikiar, Executive Director and CEO of the FIDO Alliance, and Pedro Martinez, Business Owner, Digital Banking at Talis, who specializes in identity and access management. The FIDO Alliance, by the way, is an open security industry association that focuses on reducing reliance on passwords by the development of standards for authentication and device attestation, especially phishing-resistant sign-ins with passkeys. So just a basic question to begin, since I believe it would be wrong to assume that everyone is conversant with how they work. Can I ask you, Andrew, to give us a thumbnail description? How do passkeys work, and how are they different from the passwords that we have used for the past few decades?
No, that's a great question, and I think it's important for everyone to understand exactly what passkeys are and how they work. Maybe the best way to think about that is, you know, think about how passwords have worked for decades and their inherent problem. You know, passwords work by putting a shared secret. There's a secret that the user establishes. That secret is stored on a server. If the user enters that secret correctly, then they're granted access to a service. The problem with that model is that someone can guess a password. Someone can share a password inadvertently and have someone else can enter it. More recently, we see social engineering attacks and phishing attacks where people set up fake websites and send tricky email messages or text messages and get users to enter their passwords into fake sites and then take over those accounts. And so what we need to do is move away from relying on that shared secret model into something that's way more secure. And that's what passkeys do. Passkeys use FIDO protocols to implement a virtual key pair, if you will, where there's what's called a public key that sits on the server instead of a password. And then the private key sits with the user. And those keys must match precisely for the user to sign in. That's the underlying technology. For the user to sign in, they must first verify themselves to their device. And once that's done, the keys can have dialogue and the user can sign in. And that's a lot of detail for what really happens is the user just touches their device or whatever they do to unlock their device, whether it's a biometric or a PIN code or something like that. Whatever they do to unlock their device is now what they do to sign in with a passkey.
This all makes great sense. So my next question is around the pace of universal adoption. Is the pace and uptake and adoption satisfactory from your perspective, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's doing exceedingly well, actually. We introduced the concept of passkeys just under 2 years ago. Right? So while the FIDO technology has been around for over a decade, this ability to basically use your phone's biometric primarily to sign into a site has really taken root with businesses worldwide. So we estimate over 13 billion user accounts have the option of using a passkey instead of a password. And I think that the reason why we've seen this growth is that the user experience is much better. It's much easier for a service provider to provide access to their online services, online content, online commerce to consumers with a much higher success rate. And it comes bundled with the added security of not having to rely on a password, right? And that's for consumer services at large. Now, it's also important to note that passkeys are used for workforce and you know, higher security applications as well in a way where they're often bound to a device, if you will, on a security key or things like that, where we're seeing, you know, millions of employees worldwide continuing to use passkeys to securely sign into enterprise systems, enterprise services, in a way that protects them and protects your company. So I would argue, Steve, that Passkey adoption has really been quite strong over the past couple of years, and consumer recognition, consumer familiarity with this continues to grow as well. Our own data shows that over half of consumers interviewed are aware of a passkey and have chosen to use a passkey when available.
Pedro, from the Talos perspective, what has been your observation with regard to public and organizational acceptance of passkeys?
Well, first of all, I agree completely with Andrew on the fact that the success of the adoption of passkeys has exceeded expectations. I mean, these 13 billion accounts enabled for using passkeys as of today, the amount of service providers that we have seen, main household names that have adopted already technology, and the many more that we know that they are interested, the amount of interest that we see in the technology, it's a good proof that the takeoff is there. But on the other side, your question to me is relevant because there may be that perception that the still for a portion of users, it's still a new technology or it's something that is not so well known. And I think that in part is because sometimes the decision is being taken by service providers without necessarily doing a lot of education on customers. Just they are taking initiative towards the replacement of this technology and replacing password by the use of this new technology in a way that sometimes users don't even realize that this step is being taken. To take an example is the case with Apple when they decided to introduce the usage of passkeys with the arrival of iOS 17 last September, October. It was a proactive decision by Apple to enable with passkeys all of their users for their iCloud accounts. Without necessarily making a lot of education about it. And the acceptance of users is quite immediate even without that education because it's very simple to use, but because you have that user experience, which is very nice and very simple to do.
I think Pedro is absolutely right. And one thing, Steve, going back to the history of passkeys, it's important to remember that, again, passkeys are basically a new way of implementing FIDO protocols that have been around for some time. When we introduced passkey, there were a lot of companies that were using the underlying protocols, something called WebAuthn, for example, to allow consumers to sign into sites without entering a password. So they'd have to enroll once and choose to enroll. And then every time they'd go back from that device, they'd be asked, do you want to use this biometric? Right. So then from there on that device, they can use the same device unlock that they used the time before. Now, there's two challenges with that model, right? One was that the user had to enroll each device for each service. So if I enrolled, say, for ecommercecompany.com on my MacBook, when I go to my iPhone or iPad, I'd have to re-enroll that device. And by the way, the way we're implementing with passkeys now for consumers is that sign-in is now synced securely across all those devices. So as soon as you enroll once from any other device you go to in practice, you can sign in automatically without having to enroll that device. So that's a much more intuitive user experience. But the other key thing here, to Pedro's point, is that we now have a name for this and an icon and a common set of user flows. So passkeys is much of a lowercase b brand and now a common term. We have a common icon, which is something we lacked before we moved to passkeys 2 years ago. So now all of a sudden, you will see Google calls a passkey on Android. You'll see Apple call it on iOS and macOS, and Microsoft call it this on Windows, and 1Password and Dashlane and NordPass. And all these companies that are in the business of managing credentials are all using the exact same term and very similar iconography, which starts building user familiarity, user comfort, and ultimately user demand. All right, so I think we're very rapidly moved from the point of consumers just learning about this to having such a good experience that they'll start demanding it from future services. Because at the end of the day, once you stop using passwords, you don't want to go back. And consumers That's ultimately right. have choices in who they do business with, and companies that provide them with better service and better security ultimately are in better position to thrive economically.
One Achilles heel that affects a lot of innovation, especially when technology is involved, is people, especially people handling change in the workplace. There can often be a great deal of fear and mistrust that quite fairly can come from not having had enough exposure or experience with it. So can we talk briefly about just any sort of misconceptions that people might have about passkeys? You mentioned that the adoption rate is very good, which is great, but what do you see as the types of misconceptions that people might have about passkeys in general?
There's not misconceptions about passkeys per se. There are misconceptions about biometrics, which are very important to understand. So a lot of people, not everyone has comfort with biometrics, and they're concerned about, well, where's my fingerprint going, and why does my bank need to have a picture of my face? And these are very well-rooted concerns. People here are using biometric systems for facial profiling, But it's very important to understand the way that FIDO works and the way passkeys work. You know, that biometric never leaves a device, right? So it never, ever leaves a device. So you're only using a biometric if you are using a biometric to unlock that device, to verify yourself, and then let the key exchange happen. So we found that, you know, the best way to address that, to incorporate information on how passkeys work as part of the enrollment and registration flow when someone's opting in for passkeys. So Steve, as an organizational psychologist, you'll really appreciate the work that FIDO has done in user experience. We've invested a lot of money, a lot of time into understanding the human interface aspects of user authentication. We have a UX working group comprised of design leads and product leads, you know, psychology leads from some of the biggest brands on the planet who've collaborated to scope research that has led into design guidelines, implementation guidelines that help service providers have an optimal flow for encouraging utilization of passkeys. And this has been backed up by data, backed up by anecdotes of companies that have used them, but it absolutely considers, you know, the core question you're asking here, which is what are the objections and how do you head them off and how do you make sure that users can successfully enroll and utilize passkeys?
Yeah, I would say that on our side, we are one step further from the end user. And what we see more is the concerns of certain service providers or certain verticals. And that's what we try essentially to address more than the end user themselves. That's something that is much better addressed by the FIDO Alliance. On the side of the service providers, and particularly we work a lot with the financial industry, Andrew was talking about the fact that one of the benefits of passkeys is the synchronization, or the fact that passkey that you create or generate on a certain device may propagate or is propagated to other devices of the same user under the same ecosystem, no? So if I have an iPhone, an iPad, and a MacBook, and I create a passkey for a given service on my iPhone, I will find my passkey for that service waiting for me on my iPad or on my MacBook the first time that I will go to it, thanks to that propagation and that synchronization, which is a great feature from the perspective of the end user. But in certain verticals, and particularly in certain regulated markets such as the financial sector, that brings in certain concerns for the service providers, and those are the ones that we try to tackle and that we try to explain and to provide a lot of information so that service providers can see how they can use the technology and how they can circumvent those concerns, if any.
The other thing that's important to understand about passkeys is, while I'm talking about the consumer value proposition, passkeys have been used successfully in the workforce for years. And this often comes in the form of a hardware-based solution. So using a security key or a smart card or things like that. It's just as critical, if not more critical, to be using passkeys in the workforce. We see company after company victimized by social engineering attacks where consumers are duped out of handing over their credentials. And then the attacker installs ransomware that are having massive ramifications. In fact, just last week here in the U.S. at least, we read about big breaches at AT&T, United Healthcare Group. The common thread in all these breaches are passwords, right? That remains a problem statement. So in the workforce, you need to understand what are the human objections to using passkeys in the workforce. Even though employees have less, volition to choose, it's also still important that they have a very user-friendly, intuitive way of using passkeys. And we've found that security keys and smart cards, where all the user has to do is, touch that to verify themselves, or use a biometric on that device, a more advanced hardware, device can do that as well. It's still a single gesture way of doing a multi-factor authentication that prevents remote attacks and does not rely on passwords.
Yes, and this brings up multi-factor authentication, MFA, as an issue in its own right. With organizations using MFA as a security measure for passwords, threat actors have devised ways to get around them, often by getting access to that secondary factor through theft, perhaps, or maybe through social engineering. The criminal element is always very good, obviously, at finding ways to destroy whatever defenses we create. So it appears that a passkey that incorporates biometrics makes it much more difficult for bad actors to steal anything that could be part of the MFA process. But how do you reassure people that this is a safer approach?
Well, I think that the fundamental matter is not just the fact that we are using biometrics, is that behind those biometrics, there is a layer of cryptography that is implemented by the device of the end user. So it's an authentication in two steps. There is a first step that takes place between the user and their own device through biometrics, and that allows unlocking the cryptographic exchange between the device and the authentication backend using the cryptography, the protocol that has been defined precisely by the FIDO Alliance, that's providing the extra layer of security. That's why it is not comparable, even if there can be eventually, the attack on the biometric means, even if there are these kind of possible attacks, unlocking the entire security of what we have with FIDO is much more difficult because we have a full cryptographic layer that is coming behind.
By the way, Steve, that's a much better explanation of public key cryptography than I gave of passkeys. The other thing I noticed, Steve, I think you hit on something important about MFA. And MFA has been the industry's reaction to passwords. We've known for decades that passwords are insufficient. And the answer has been, add layers. All right. So add an OTP. Well, those are phishable. Add, TOTPs. Well, that's also phishable. Do prompts, other ways. All the factors, by and large, that we've added on top of passwords have proven to be fallible. And what passkeys represent for the first time is actually allows people to rethink this question, right? Instead of thinking about layers, start thinking about, well, what if I have a primary factor that is unphishable in and of itself? And so passkeys is a single factor. Passkeys as a core technology provide an unphishable foundation in of themselves that allow people to reframe their thinking from focusing on layers to focusing on a foundational solution that prevents phishing. And that's what passkeys do.
What advice would you give, both of you, to organizations that are still trying to play catch up on this? Maybe it's a political or a cultural thing. Maybe it's even financial resistance, just the unwillingness to spend even more money on another security layer. Maybe it's doubt or insecurity. Even if their own CISOs are shouting the passkey message from the rooftops, some companies can still be very slow to catch up. So what would be some advice on how organizations can go ahead and move towards this new security approach? Or maybe some advice to organizations who have an audience of employees who are suffering from change fatigue or alert fatigue and simply don't want to take on anything else new right now?
Yeah, the first thing to do is to take action, right? So, I understand, I'm very empathetic to security leads and CISOs and executive teams that have a long list of security requirements, but it's in a wish list of security projects to take on. But it's impossible to overstate the importance of reducing reliance on passwords immediately. And the good news is, there's a very vibrant set of experts in the FIDO community who have products that are proven to support FIDO standards, that have best practices that can help companies move from identification of requirements on through implementation. So the best thing someone can do is engage with a vendor, engage with the expert in the space, scope a POC, and start heading down that path of implementing passkeys, whether it's for your workforce, or whether it's for consumers. The technology is robust. The technology is mature. The technology is fully supported on end user devices. I'd encourage everyone to start taking those first steps if they haven't already.
Pedro, how about from your perspective in terms of convincing people to move forward?
Just to complement what Andrew just said, there are very clear reasons why they should take action, because they are going to improve their security position of their companies right away. They are going to reduce risks clearly by reducing their dependence on passwords. They are going to improve the experience of their end users. And through the feedback that FIDO Alliance has got through many of the members that have already been releasing, there is clearly now a view on the fact that there is a positive impact in terms even of top line for companies in adopting passkeys, because whether it is from the perspective of the reduced time that is required for users for logging, or whether it is through the better rate of success in getting those logins go through, companies can improve the level of engagement that they get with their end users, and that is a positive. So it's not just a matter of improving security, it's a matter of overall improving even the top line. That is not something that we usually associate with security, but it is very much the case with passkeys, as we start to have proof from.
Nothing succeeds like success, so let's look at some success metrics. Andrew, what are some highlights of some companies that have used passkeys thus far?
Yeah. So again, I think it's always important to look at, both the consumer and the workforce scenarios. On the consumer side, people who are implementing passkeys are doing so primarily with two core KPIs in mind. One is, how many users can I have? Can I increase my sign-in success rate? And can I decrease their time to sign in? And time again, companies that are implementing passkeys for consumers are seeing this. So reduced sign-in time, increased sign-in success rate. And that translates directly into revenue if you're in the e-commerce business. The more users you can have signed in successfully, the more can actually make purchase. And so we've seen companies such as Google and TikTok, Mercari, and others talk about how they're seeing meaningful improvements on both fronts. Recently, I was joined on stage for a conversation at Identiverse with Amazon, who mentioned that they had a 14% improvement in sign-in success rate. 14%. So you can imagine how much that moves the needle on their bottom line. So if you're in the business of trying to get consumers to sign into things, passkeys will bring immediate benefit to your ability to do so. Now, on the workforce side, as we're just talking about, it's so important to make sure that your employees are not relying on passwords. Time and time again, we hear about these breaches. What people might not follow are the incident responses, right? So typically a company, after they've been breached, will have an incident response and talk about what they've done to mitigate it. Pretty much every time you'll see in their responses, oh, and we moved to FIDO2 security keys. They're realizing, well, after the fact, that's a way to very quickly and easily make sure that your employees can't get phished. And this is all about, you know, attackers trying to bypass multi-factor authentication. The way FIDO works, you can't actually sign into fake sites. So, you know, this is showing the power of arming your employees with passkeys rather than legacy forms of two-factor authentication.
So, Pedro, over to you for any additional thoughts. What more can we add to this episode's knowledge base?
I would like to somehow make the point about the fact that we have to differentiate between the two types of passkeys that we can be dealing with. The fact that we have one type of passkeys that are the ones that synchronize, that are the ones that we have available on all of the platforms that we use, on our smartphones, on our tablets, on our computers through their operating systems. And these passkeys, they are the ones that synchronize, that we are going to see roaming from one device to another for great benefit of the end users from the perspective of usability. But maybe for a little bit of concern for certain service providers. And that's why we have the other type of passkeys, which are the device-bound passkeys. So Andrew referred to them when talking about workforce and about the fact that we have passkeys that are used within tokens and smart cards. So these passkeys, the reason why they are not contested at all within the workforce, the usage of tokens and the smart cards, is because the passkeys that are within these devices, they are not roaming anyway. They remain device-bound. So we generate these passkeys on these devices and they are not going to be anywhere else, so they are a great security device. In the case, there is a third form factor for the storage or for the management of passkeys, which is neither the OS of the smartphone or the tablet or the PC, nor a hardware device, and that's the mobile app. So any service provider can implement within their mobile app, and we can certainly help them to do that, the FIDO protocol, in order to ensure that keys that are managed by the mobile app themselves do not roam into other devices. They remain device bound, and by remaining device bound, they can be, for example, in the case of the financial sector, remain fully compliant with the regulations important for the financial sector in particular. And that is the reason why our message to our customers and prospects is that passkeys are great, no matter what, that synced passkeys, passkeys that are managed by the platforms, are great for password replacement, and that it is a no-brainer for any service provider to move towards implementing passkeys at that level in order to reduce their dependence on passwords, and that device-bound passkeys under a hardware token or device are fantastic for a strong authentication for the workforce environment, and that device-bound passkeys within a mobile app, they are great for general release to the public through mobile apps as a security component that maintains all the compliance that is required in by certain sectors.
Well, this has certainly been an enlightening discussion. I do think there's a lot here that will help people feel more comfortable about making the leap to passkey-based security. So Andrew Shikiar, Executive Director and CEO at the FIDO Alliance, thank you for joining us here on the Talos Security Sessions podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
And Pedro Martinez, who specializes in identity and access management at Talos, thank you as well.
My pleasure. Thanks to both.
Remember, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe and tell a friend or a colleague or a client or all of them about the Talos Security Sessions podcast. We will be back again very soon with another episode and another discussion on the topics that you need to know about to successfully carry on in the business of information security. Until then, I'm Steve Prentice. Thanks for listening.